Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Well, good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, October 14th, 2019. It's Canada versus USA tomorrow, and in Canada today, it's Thanksgiving. So we're giving thanks to the end of the international break in just a few days, Dwayne.
Yeah, exactly. I'll give thanks to the advent of podcasting. Don't know how I would have expressed myself. I would have been the crazy guy screaming at you about the Canadian men's national team on the subway. Instead, I have this
the guy on the corner on a milk box with your speakerphone yelling, "The end is nigh! The end is nigh!"
Well, precisely. It wouldn't have been pretty regardless, but speaking of pretty, I'm looking at the window right now at the fall colors here in Toronto. It's going to be a good day for a game. There was still, the last I looked, about 4,000 or 5,000 tickets available, and you can scream in the ceiling if you're outside of the Toronto area, but that's focused instead on those that are in the Toronto area that are coming to this game or coming from outside to attend it. It's got a good crowd in there. It looks like it's going to be a very pro-Canadian crowd, only about 200 American Outlaws tickets sold, which sort of matches the interest in that program right now. So it should be a fun day at the stadium, regardless of who's there. It'll be a good crowd that's in there.
We have to thank the Cuba and the CONCACAF Nations League for the proximity of the two games. Probably helped Canada have more Canadian fans and American fans in the stands too, because the American Outlaws were traveling to D.C. on Friday for the game against Cuba. So there will be some on Tuesday, but you mentioned a pro-Canadian crowd, hopefully, for Tuesday's game. The most important Canadian men's national team game, at least in my opinion, Dwayne, since that night in Honduras.
Yeah, I mean, you could make an argument that the Mexican home game in BC, the one that there was a sellout at BC Place, was equatable to this, I think, because had Canada pulled an upset that day, then certainly the idea of making the Hex would have become very real. But they were sort of a step away. They're very similar in that way, that if Canada wins tonight, it's by no means they're going guaranteed the Hex. Mikirasol drew Costa Rica last night, so wow. That's another team that right now would be, I think, a couple points ahead of Canada in the ranking if they don't get a result coming into next month, and this is unfortunately what we're going to be looking at. But yeah, a win over the U.S. would both set them up to potentially win the group, which would allow them to play a couple more of these 0.25 multipliers in the spring. I don't know if there's third place games in the I'd have to look that up, but one anyway. And that would be something that would give them more opportunity to get some points. But look, I think, again, it's all process. The interest in this game underlines the point that I've driven home many times before, that it is almost as important to get to the Hex as it is to get to Qatar. Because you know what? More Canadians will be exposed to this team in the Hex than they would be in Qatar, because there would be 500 of us that would travel and the rest would watch a couple games on TV. But this is an opportunity in the flesh to get this team out and about and playing important games that people care about.
Speaking of traveling, tomorrow I'll be at the game at BMO Field, leaving tomorrow morning. So no live Soccer Today tomorrow. That's why we're doing one a bit earlier today for Thanksgiving purposes. But tomorrow, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to do a live show. We'll do some coverage on our Twitter feed, and during the game I'll do videos coverage. I'm probably going to do some audio after the game, posting while I'm traveling back to Montreal. But no live Soccer Today tomorrow. Let's look at Canada's ways, the keys to a victory, let's say, for Canada. When you look at the roster, Dwayne, we just saw it on our screen. When you look at the offensive threat that Canada has, that is very weird just to say that, the words, the offensive threat that Canada has. What is this? Yeah, it's 2019. I guess it's true. What does Canada need to do to have a shot on Tuesday night versus the U.S.?
They need to, as we said on Friday, they need to lean into what they're good at, and they need to be able to make sure that they have the U.S. off balance in terms of not being able to get their attack going. And look, in some ways, they're similar teams, that the U.S.'s strength really comes from their ability to attack with pace and with skill off of the wings, particularly from Christian Pulisic. So if you can neutralize that, I think the best way to do that might be to provide your own danger. And Canada, in my mind, I mean, look, for sure the U.S.'s back line is in much, much better, for sure. But if you look at those midfields, you can make an argument that Canada's is better, if not at least equal. For sure you can make the argument that it's equal. So I think you just have to take advantage of being at home. And I know Jonathan disagreed to a certain extent and said that the U.S. would be a little bit pragmatic in this, and he's probably right. But I do also think that they well maintain that process. There is a certain, quote-unquote, trust the process going on here with the U.S. men's national team in this game, although it is important to them as part of that process, and important to them, I think, symbolically and emotionally, to not continue to appear to take a step behind the rest of the region. I mean, I think as much as they sometimes make lip service to liking Canada to push them a little bit more and create a second regional rival for them, they really don't mean that. They would rather be better still, and fair enough, and any country would feel the same way. They don't want little brother, as they would put it, to get one up. Like, I mean, those of you with a little brother right there, would you want to have him beat you that first time he beat you one-on-one in basketball after 10 years or soccer, I guess, in this case? It's easier to play one-on-one basketball, though. You're not happy about that, are you? And the U.S. would be the same way. And that's how they'll view themselves, is they want to keep us down. They don't really need to be pushed anymore, and they really don't need to deal with the toxicity that a loss to Canada would create.
You know, it's a good thing I didn't have a brother, because he would not have won often. I'm like, nope, dude, I don't care if you're 2 years old and I'm 20. You're not winning. Okay, maybe that's a bit extreme, but I do get the point. And we'll see the comments of Michael Bradley after the game in Washington Friday, saying the CONCACAF Nations League is a bit not useless. And of course, it's the same sentiment that we've heard from Berhalter and from Tata Martino from the Mexican national team. For us, at least for Canada, for the fans, our Nations League is the best thing that could ever happen to us, because we wouldn't have that game. We wouldn't have that game against the United States. And how long has it been, Dwayne? We've been talking about the potential matchup between those two teams for over a year, saying we hope to catch them soon. We're on the way up. They look to be on the way down. Doesn't mean they are. They just look. They missed the last World Cup. Maybe now it's the time. Maybe this time around, Canada's ripe for a result.
Yeah, and I think that there's no doubt that this is the best opportunity Canada's had to take one off of the U.S. in years. They don't play enough. Generally, it's in Gold Cups, but even in Gold Cups, they, as you know, as anyone who follows the Gold Cup knows, it's not really a draw. It's a placement, and the
it's
U.S.
a draw
typically
of pots of one name per pot. So, like, okay, you go there.
Yeah, and Canada hasn't been placed with the U.S. very often. The last time was 2011, and they lost that game 2-0 in Detroit. So there was a big crowd that traveled down that day. I remember that quite well. But at any rate, it's been a while. Josie scored in it, too, and he won't score in this one. Thankfully for the Toronto fans, who would have to watch it and plug their nose.
That's my next question. How will the lack of Josie Altidore, Walker Zimmerman, and a couple of others key player for U.S. men's national team, how will it affect this game? Will it affect this game? Should Canada feel lucky to have a Josie Altidore injured, or doesn't it change anything? Or should John Herdman just approach this game the way he would have approached it anyways? It doesn't matter who's in there. There's going to be a striker capable of beating you instead of Josie Altidore, if it's Josh Sargent or another one. How should John Herdman approach this game?
No, I think there's no doubt that Josie Altidore would have been a handful for what is a very green and challenged backline for the Canadian men's national team. I mean, you've got guys that have played at a decent level, but that really the one thing I do like about the Canadian backline is that they play together in Vancouver. Now, the one thing you don't like about that is that they play together in Vancouver.
They play for Vancouver.
So, because Daniel Henry had the red card against Cuba, that won't be the case. But that also means that Daniel Henry won't get a red card against the U.S. because he's apt to do that occasionally. And I love Daniel, but anyway, in terms of what your question directly, I'll say this carefully. If Walker Zimmerman, was born in Moose Jaw, I would absolutely be happy to have him on the Canadian men's national team. But That said, that's more of a reflection on my perception of the Canadian men's national team defensive prowess than it is on my belief as Walker Zimmer as an international defender. I actually think Miles Robinson might be long-term a better player than him, and maybe this is sort of one of those blessings in disguise for the U.S. to be able to get that player in to the setup now. In terms of Josie, though, that's a whole other ball of wax here. He's a monster. I'll admit that my perception on Josie Altidore is probably biased because I see him in Toronto, but that said, I've seen him do really remarkable things on one foot in Toronto before, and he is such a strong, you know, to use a hockey term, he's a power forward. And that's something that I think would really challenge the Canadian men's national team backline and allow that muscularity combined with the pace and the skill on the wings would be a really dangerous thing to deal with. And it would probably prevent Canada from going completely, you know what, to the wall on attack, because they would be opened up and split apart on the counter, which the U.S. is very good at. And I think that not having Josie in there does actually, although he's not the most pacey guy, he opens things up for them, right? Like, that's kind of what he does. And he does plays the same role Cavallini would want for the U.S., or for Canada, pardon me, is they want to open things up for David and Davis, hopefully, if they play him where they should, to attack or Junior Hulett. If they don't, either way, you got a pretty good option there and create, right? And that's what they have to do. But it's going to come down, as I said, 50 times now, if Canada. So it's going to be 3-2, I think, or 3-1, or 4-2, or something like that. It's
5-4. Can Canada score 5? Yeah. That's the question. You mentioned Davies. Of course, Alfonso Davies might be an important piece in this game, but I don't think he's going to be the key piece for Canada right now. Who's in form right now? If you look at the Canadian strikers, of course, Jonathan David, yes. And Lucas Cavallini as well, with a brand new contract in Mexico. Lucas Cavallini is the Canadian equivalent to Josie Altidore. Just look at the damn shoulders Cavallini's got on his body. He's muscular too. He's a monster too. And he's our version of a Josie Altidore. Maybe not as experienced. Maybe doesn't have all the little tricks that make you a great striker and be able to find space behind the defenders. But Cavallini needs to be impactful in this game. Can Canada win this game without Cavallini scoring?
Of course, they can. Without him not having an impact, though, is a different question. I don't think he needs to score to have an impact on the game. You know, he's more going to score goals from inside the box, as opposed to, I think, you could find, well, they're all going to score goals from inside the box, but I mean from inside the front of the goal. The six, rather than, you know, sort of creating from the attack and the speed off the wings. Look, they've just got to have their attack going, and it is a dangerous prospect. And look, I made a joke this morning on Twitter that we're starting to sound a little thirsty here. I don't think there's any joke about that, though. We are starting to sound a little thirsty here, and I worry about what's going to happen psychologically to the program if they don't get this win. Because here's the thing, Kevin. Yes, they're vulnerable right now, but they're still better.
Yeah,
they're still a better team.
Nine times out of ten, they'll beat Canada. But if you remember,
7 out of 10, okay. And you give a draw in there. So, but Canada's only winning one, maybe two times in those 10 games. That's the thing.
If you go 7 out of 10, my analogy's not going to work. So I'm going to go 9 out of 10, and you do just like in the movie Little Giants. That was a bad movie in the '90s, but movies with kids are always good, anyways. Little Giants. It's kind of like the equivalent to The Sandlot, but for football instead of baseball. Little Giants, they lose to the big team with big money in the city every year. But the one time out of 10, they beat them. And that time was important, and it was for the championship. Can Canada channel their inner Little Giants? That's a question that will be answered tomorrow night, Dwayne.
Precisely. It is a question. Look, I don't know what to think. I think there's a chance, but maybe it's my own self-protection that is kicking in here a little bit, because if they do lose this game, I think the dream of the Hex is done. And that's just so frustrating on so many levels, because they really have, I think, over the last – put the Haiti game aside. Not even put the Haiti game aside. Put the half of the Haiti game aside.
Put the bad half, and the second one.
Well, and like all teams have that, right? And I think the reason the reaction to that half of football is tied in to the history of this program. And I am not someone who believes that, you know, the fact that they lost 8-1 in Honduras, you know, what's that, 6 years ago now, 7 years. It's more than that, isn't it? It's a while ago. Anyways, two terms. It was two cycles ago.
2013.
So the fact that they lost the game is irrelevant to now.
Yeah, it's 2013. I remember watching that game. Yeah, no, it's a long time ago. We're not getting any younger, I guess. You can see my hairline receding day by day. I'm sure if you start looking at the first video show we did, you can see my hairline, and you can see my hairline today. You can't see Dwayne.
Yeah, I was at the Footy Talks event on Friday, and I was talking to some of the guys that I have known for years, and we were talking about 2026 and 2022, and like we quite bluntly said, not to be dark here, but it was like, you know what? Like, I want them to make 2021 to forget 26. Yeah, I'm glad it's coming, but I don't want to think that far ahead in my life. I don't want to rush my life anymore. Like, there's only not an infinite amount of time, right?
It's finite.
Finite amount of time, and we might as well focus on what's ahead of us right now, because I don't know where my life's going to be in 2026. Like, hopefully I'll still be going to games and all that, and I suspect I'll be, but...
We hope that the human race would still exist in 2026. Heck, we never know what could happen. An asteroid could be on its way to Earth right now. Who knows 2 years from now what's going to happen?
Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, in November 2020? We don't know what's going to happen the day after that. But
that's true.
Speaking of the U.S.
All right, let's finish this quick Canadian men's national team, U.S. men's national team preview with a prediction. Let's wet our feet. Dwayne, your prediction for the result of the most important Canadian men's national team game in the last decade, arguably, tomorrow night.
I am going to think, I think that it'll be a result that frustrates everyone. I think it's going to be a draw. I'm going to go with 2-2.
2-2 draw. 2-2 draw. And that would be interesting. If it's a 2-2 draw, we would have to take a look at the group on Wednesday and to see the goal differential and all the blah, blah. I'm going to go with maybe a bold prediction or maybe not. Maybe it's the realist in me. Maybe it's the fragile, vulnerable piece of me that is already trying to protect itself. For tomorrow night, I'm predicting 2-1 United States.
Yeah, that's possible. There's no doubt about that, that it is a possible solution here. Look, I mean, I think as Canadian fans, and we do have to keep this a little shorter today. I have some family obligations on Thanksgiving here in Canada. But as a final thought, like, I think that if they do not get the result, if the U.S. does win this, then don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. There is still time to build this. There's still time to go through that repechage and try and get some more results and build. And yeah, you just have to refocus. And that's how mentally I've been dealing with this in mind. I have only recently allowed myself, as you know, taking any journalist hat off here and just as a fan, allowed myself to think that the hex is possible. But I still tend to view this World Cup qualifying through the prism of that ridiculous repechage that they're going to have to go through. And they should absolutely be expected to make at least the semifinals of that. If I would suggest the finals of that should be their goal. You're going to be up against Haiti's and the Panama's and those teams, TNT. That's kind of what the final four would look like. And in that, if you had a four-team group with Haiti, Panama, Canada and TNT, I think all of us as Canadian men's national teams would be like frightened that we might be disappointed by that, but hopeful that we could win that.
Yeah, we would be licking our chops, but still be looking at TNT, be like, oh, what kind of TNT will show up?
Yeah, Carousel, you might throw in there too with the draws I mentioned either. So it's not this going to be a walk through that, but it is a chance. It is an opportunity. And then, you know, as long as they're still playing, that is the one, reluctantly, I will give one positive about the change in the format. We will not be eliminated a year and a half out, which has been the case the last four cycles.
Yeah.
So 98, five cycles.
But you know what?
It's a five, yeah. Anyway.
Being eliminated a year early, at least, you know, you don't have the hopes and dreams and you just have, you're a realist.
At the end of the day, they will be playing games in 2021 that matter, and that is one positive of this.
But at the end of the day, it's the hope that gets you. And for once, we're hopeful, and that might be dangerous. On that note, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, this show at Soccer Today SPN. No live show tomorrow as I'm traveling to Toronto for of course, the CONCACAF Nations League game. But you can find our archives, sportspodcastingnetwork.com, our Patreon feed, patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. $2 a month, you'll get access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast. One show every week about Canadian soccer and Canadian Premier League and only Canadian soccer. And until live coverage tomorrow on our Twitter feed, audio recordings tomorrow night, and of course a live show on Wednesday, because I'll be back in studio Wednesday morning. I'm traveling all night long to be back Wednesday for this show. But until then, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie, and we wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.